We are glad to present your speaker, Don Blackwell.
You know, it used to be the case that if a building had Church of Christ over the door, that there were certain things that you could count on. You could count on the fact that if you visited there, you would hear the Bible preached. You could count on the fact that they would partake of the Lord's Supper every Sunday. You could count on the fact that the singing would be a cappella, that you would not see or hear an instrument. You could count on the fact that they would teach the essentiality of baptism and that would never be doubted. And if you did visit a place where you found something other than this, you would certainly be surprised and that congregation would be considered very unusual. But sadly, these days, it's not that way anymore. These days, when you travel, you've got to be very careful where you stop to worship. And you might be surprised at some of the things that you find if you do just drop in somewhere. And I expect that probably some of you have had experiences like this, where you've been traveling and you have not made arrangements, and so you found a Church of Christ in the phone book and you stopped to worship there and you found some things that were very disturbing and left you feeling very disheartened about the condition of the Lord's church in that area. Brethren, it is obvious that there are some areas in which the congregations of the Lord's church are weakening. You know, many congregations have left off preaching the basics and they have moved on to more lofty sounding topics. Many have given up on book, chapter, and verse preaching and instead have started preaching psychology and philosophy and literature and books written by the denominational world, which is very strange. Last week we talked about the fact that some congregations of the Lord's church have begun to bring instruments into their worship service and have left a basic Bible principle of authority. I mentioned to you last week a congregation in Hendersonville, Tennessee, and then later this week I read an article that said that the largest Church of Christ in the country, the Richland Hills congregation in Richland Hills, Texas, has decided to add instruments to their worship. I went to their website. This is what it said. The article's in the Christian Chronicle, but this is directly off their website. It says, after a 3-year period of much study, prayer, and fasting, the leadership of the Richland Hills Church of Christ has decided to add a third week in assembly that will include instrumental praise. And some congregations that have Church of Christ on their sign have ceased preaching on the distinctive nature of the Lord's church and have started fellowshipping the denominations. They're beginning to join in ball clubs with the denominational world. And they're beginning to have preacher swaps, pulpit swaps with the denominations. And they think that they are no different from us. We are all going to the same place anyway. Brethren, I've got to tell you, things like this are very, very disturbing to me. And when I hear statements like this and people leaving the truth in these various ways, it has made me more determined than ever to preach the basics, to preach the first principles over and over again, to do what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and 6, and that is to put the brethren in remembrance. We have got to remember that we are only one generation from apostasy. You know, in Judges chapter 2, the lesson is laid out there. The Bible says the people that served under Joshua served the Lord all the days of their life. But then it says there arose a generation after them who knew not the Lord, nor the things which He had done in Israel. Now what does that mean? It means they had one generation of people who were faithful to the Lord, but their children were not. In one generation they had apostatized. And we need to realize the same thing can happen to us. If we do not instill in our children the truth, we are one generation from apostasy. And if that happens, if we depart from serving the Lord in the proper type of worship, if we depart from serving the Lord and embracing the denominations, then the Church of Christ in that area becomes nothing more than a denomination itself. When you depart from the pattern for the Church of the Bible, you cease to be the Church of the Bible. I want to talk today about denominationalism. You know, there is no doubt in my mind that denominationalism is one of the most powerful tools of the devil. Now, why do I say that? I say that because if the devil can get men to look at a religion and think that it is the Church of the Bible, then they think they found the truth and they'll stop looking. If the devil can get men to look at a denomination and think that they have found what they need to do to go to heaven, then they will serve it and not look for the Church of the Bible. Friends, the reason this is so disturbing, however, is that a man cannot be saved in a denomination. A man cannot go to heaven in a denomination. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, the Bible says, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Now that verse teaches us that all of the saved in the Christian age are members of that one church that was established by the Lord on the day of Pentecost. But since that time, men have established many, many denominations, which they call churches. But you know, the truth of the matter is, still, all of the saved are in the one church that was built by Jesus. But in building these counterfeit churches, Satan has got a great tool because people have stopped looking for the truth. They have their consciences salved. They think that everything is okay. They're holding to these false religions, and they become entrenched in the traditions. And with zeal and fervor, they defend this false religion. And then they die lost, and they go to the judgment day shocked to find out that they were wrong. You know, in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 22, Jesus said, "Many," talking about the day of judgment, He said, "Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Brethren, there is not a doubt in my mind that this passage is including people from the denominational world. People who were very sincere, who were part of a religious organization that they thought was serving Christ. Listen to these people in the judgment. They're saying, "Lord, Lord, haven't we done these things? Haven't we served you sincerely?" And they seem, you can almost hear the shock in their voice when they're saying, "How can this be? We thought we were serving you." And He says to them, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." Brethren, there used to be a day when members of the Lord's church earnestly and clearly proclaimed the fact that denominationalism is wrong, and that a man could not be saved in a denomination. But today, many in the church don't want to hear that message, because many have the idea that that's offensive. That's an offensive message, and if people come and they hear that, they might get upset. And some people will say, you know, if people come and we get them in the doors and they hear an offensive message like that, well, they might become upset and leave and go away lost. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. If you are not preaching the truth because you're concerned that people are going to go away lost, you are very confused, because they are already lost. And if someone doesn't teach them the truth, they're going to remain lost. The truth is the only thing that will save them. That's Romans 10:14. How shall they hear without a preacher? If someone doesn't teach them the truth, they have no hope whatsoever. 3 points I want us to notice this morning about denominationalism. The first point is this: is the Church of Christ a denomination? You know, it's not unusual for members of the Lord's church to be asked that question. What denomination are you a member of? You ever been asked that? Let me see your hands. How many of you have ever been asked that question? What denomination? Almost every hand in the room is going up here. What denomination are you a member of? And it's not surprising to hear that question, because with the hundreds and thousands of denominations that exist today, people ask the question, is the Church of Christ a denomination? And the answer to that question is no, it's not. When someone asks you what denomination are you a part of, you should tell them, "I'm not a member of a denomination. I'm a member of the Church of Christ," the church that you read about in the Bible. In Matthew 16 and 18, Jesus promised, "Upon this rock I will build my church." And on the first Pentecost, following His resurrection from the dead, He did that. He built His church. And it is only His church wherein people can be saved. Friends, that is what the Church of Christ is. The Church of Christ is the Church of the New Testament. It is the one that was built by Jesus. It's the institution purchased by the blood of the Lord. It's the body wherein all of the saved are located. Now, to help us understand and answer this question, is the Church of Christ a denomination? I want you to understand this with me. In the Bible, the word church is used in two different senses. It is sometimes used in the local sense, and it is sometimes used in the universal sense. Now, when the Bible uses the word church in the local sense, it's referring to a specific congregation, the church in a specific locale. Like Acts chapter 5 and verse 11 says, "And great fear came upon all of the church." If you look at the context, you will see it's talking about the church at Jerusalem. And incidentally, that's the way you tell if he's talking about local or universal. You've got to read the context. If you look at Acts 11:26, the Bible talks about the church at Antioch. 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, the church at Corinth. Philippians 1, 1, the church at Philippi. All of these are talking about specific congregations in the local sense. We could talk about the North Charleston Church of Christ. We're talking about the church that meets here in the city of North Charleston. That's how the Bible uses the word church in the local sense. But it also uses the word church in the universal sense. We mentioned a moment ago, Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." He means the universal church, all of the churches of Christ, all of the individual congregations, the North Charleston Church of Christ and the Corinth Church of Christ, and all of the congregations of the Lord's church, universal. Ephesians 1, 22, read in the scripture reading this morning, Paul wrote, "God gave Christ to be the head over all things to the church." That's not the local sense. That means all faithful congregations of the Lord's church. Now, this is why I'm telling you this. This is why this is important. That is the only two senses in which the Bible uses the word church. Nowhere in the Scriptures do you read the word church used in the denominational sense. Now, let's answer the question. Is the Church of Christ a denomination? Now, you say, before I can answer that question, I need to know what a denomination is. I've heard the term, but if I had to define it, I couldn't really define it. A denomination is, by definition, it is a religious organization that is larger than the local church, but it is smaller than the universal church. A denomination falls somewhere between the local congregation and the universal church. Now, you know what that means? A denomination is a term that is not a biblical one. It's not a scriptural term. Therefore, a denomination is not something that you find in the Bible. Now, I say that firmly, but I say it respectfully. A denomination is not something you find in the pages of the New Testament. And so, is the Church of Christ a denomination? No, it's not. Therefore, there are no denominational churches found in the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, understand with me that every denomination that exists today came into existence hundreds of years after the Church of the Bible. Now, I want you to explain something to me. If you read in the Bible, Acts 2:47, that all of the saved were in that one church, why would anyone think that as years passed and men began to create new churches and added new names and different doctrines, as that took place, why is it that now some of the saved are in those churches? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense logically, and it doesn't make sense biblically. That's the first point. Is the Church of Christ a denomination? No, it's not. Here's the second point. How to recognize a denomination. Now, you know, this is an important thing. If you worked at the bank and you worked with money, it would be important that you be able to recognize counterfeit money. If someone came to you and gave you a $20 bill and it was a counterfeit, you need to know that so that you don't accept it, so that you're not fooled. Now, how are you going to recognize counterfeit money? You're going to look at the marks. You're going to look at its distinguishing characteristics. You're going to compare it to genuine money and say, this is not the same. Now, how do I recognize a counterfeit church? Because that's what a denomination is. I want to give you several marks of a counterfeit church, of a denomination. Number one, one mark of a counterfeit religion is an unscriptural name. You know, the one church of the Bible is called the church. It's called the Church of Christ. It's called the Church of God. It's called the Bride of Christ. And it's called by a number of other God-given designations. Designations we read about in the Bible. But not so with many of the denominations. They have a name that you cannot find in the Bible. Such as the Methodist Church. It's not in the New Testament. Such as the Baptist Church. It's not in the New Testament. Such as the Lutheran Church. The Roman Catholic Church. The Jehovah's Witnesses. The Mormons, all of these are names that are not found anywhere in the pages of your Scripture. Now, what does that mean? It means they are names that were not given by God. Here's a second mark of a counterfeit church, and that is its founder. The one church of the New Testament has as its founder Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." Not so with denominations. The Methodist Church was built by John Wesley. The Baptist Church had as its founder John Smith. The Lutheran Church, Martin Luther. The Catholic Church, commonly cited as Boniface III, who's recognized as the first pope. The Assembly of God, E.N. Bell. The Jehovah's Witnesses, Charles Taze Russell. The Mormons, Joseph Smith. A third mark of a counterfeit church is the time and place of its establishment. The one church of the New Testament had as its time and place of establishment A.D. 33 in the city of Jerusalem. Not so with the denominations. The Methodist Church was founded in England in 1729. The Baptist Church was founded in London in 1607. The Lutheran Church, Germany, 1517. The Catholic Church, Rome, 606. The Assemblies of God, Arkansas, 1914. Jehovah's Witnesses, Pittsburgh, 1872. The Mormons, New York, 1830. They don't match the marks of the Church of the Bible. Another mark of a counterfeit church, a false religious organization, is its unscriptural organization. Now, what do we mean by that? How is it laid out? What is its authority structure? When you read about the Church of the New Testament, you will see that it was organized with elders overseeing individual congregations. Under those elders, there were deacons and evangelists, preachers, who were serving under their oversight. In the denominational world, you'll see things such as a pope, cardinals, bishops who were heads over various dioceses. You will see presidents. You will see general conferences. You will see a one-man or one-woman pastor system, or a board of deacons, a clergy-laity system. All of these things are foreign to the New Testament. You can read from Matthew to Revelation, and you will never read about a pope. You will never read about a board of deacons who oversees the church. Now, what does that tell me? It tells me this is a mark of a counterfeit. This is not like the church in the Bible. If I want to recognize the one true church, I get out my Bible, I turn to the pages, I see how they were laid out, and I will find some of these things that we find in the denominational world. Another mark of a counterfeit religion is unscriptural worship. The Church of the New Testament engaged in five acts of worship every week: preaching, the Lord's Supper, singing, giving, and prayer. A denomination can be recognized by the alteration of its worship. It can be recognized by the addition of instrumental music. Now, we had a whole sermon on that last week and about biblical authority. The Church of the New Testament engaged in singing only. When you see someone who's doing something in addition to that, you know they're not meeting the marks of the New Testament church. A denomination can be recognized by the fact that they omit taking the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, as did the Lord's church, according to Acts 20 and verse 7. Tithing instead of a free will offering, as we have been prospered, is a mark of a false church. Preaching the doctrines of creed books rather than the Bible only. Prayers being offered to the Holy Spirit, having altar calls and things such as this, are marks of man-made religions. You never find New Testament Christians engaging in these practices. And one very obvious corruption, a mark of a denomination, is a corrupted plan of salvation. Friends, in the New Testament, all people who were saved and added to the church did so by faith, repentance, and baptism. But if you listen to the denominational world, they teach various plans of salvation, which if you search your entire life, you will not find in the pages of Scripture. I have extended the challenge many times. Start at the book of Matthew, read to the book of Revelation, read it over and over and over and over again, and you will never find someone being saved by saying a prayer and asking Jesus to come into his heart as his personal Savior. It is not there. You know what that means? It is a mark of a false religion. It's not in the Bible. In the denominations, you will be taught to pray through. You will find infant baptism. You will find sprinkling. You will find faith only being taught. You will be taught that baptism is not essential. All of these things are contrary to what you read about the first century Christians doing in the book of Acts. Friends, any church which was established in any place other than Jerusalem at any time other than A.D. 33 by anyone other than Jesus Christ is a denomination or a man-made religion. And no matter how sincere you may be, you won't find salvation in that organization. Again, Acts 2:47, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. If all of the saved were in that one church in the first century, why do we think it's any different just because some time has passed? Here's the third point and the last point of the lesson. And that is, why don't we fellowship the denominations? Sometimes people think, well, you folks in the Church of Christ, you're just kind of mean. You're just kind of recluses. You know, everybody else is doing pulpit swaps and everyone else thinks that it's okay to do this and they embrace hands and have unity and diversity and things like that. Why don't you participate in that with all these other religious groups? Let me give you several reasons. Number one, we don't do it because they're counterfeit churches. They may look like the church of the Bible, but they're not. And you know, this is not at all an unusual technique of the devil. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 13 says, "For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, who transform themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel," he says, "don't be surprised by that, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." In other words, the devil is disguising himself as someone who looks holy and someone who looks righteous. Why? Because that's the way he's going to deceive people. If he looks like he's very similar to the truth, he's going to trick people. That's why Matthew 7:15 says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. They appear to be a sheep, but actually they're a wolf." Now, what's the warning? You've got to look very carefully. You've got to look at the New Testament. Look at the marks. Why? Because they will fool you. That's why we don't fellowship denominations, because they're counterfeit churches. They're leading men to be lost. Number two, we don't fellowship denominations because we don't want to bid Godspeed to evil. You know, 2 John in verse 9 says, "Whosoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God." Friends, that describes the denominational world. When they will change the doctrine of the one church, when they will change the arrangement for worship, when they will give a different plan of salvation, then they are violating this passage. And the text says, whoever doesn't have the doctrine of Christ, the one that you read about in the Bible, it says he does not have God. Now listen to verse 10. This is the clincher for us. "If there come any into you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, and neither bid him Godspeed." To bid him Godspeed means that you wish him well. You're going to participate. Good job. Wish you the best. We're going to hold your hands up in this. And the Lord said, if you do that, he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker in his evil deeds. We don't fellowship denominationalism because we don't want to encourage the efforts. We don't want to hold their hands up. The Lord said that they're doing something that's sinful, and if we help it along, we're a partaker in that. Number three, we don't fellowship the denominations because that would be supporting division. Every denomination has its own little splinter group, its own creed, its own version of the plan of salvation, its own... The reason they exist in differences is because there is division. They teach different things. They believe different things. The Bible says that's not right. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, the Lord said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment." The Lord said, you ought to be teaching the same thing. If you're not, something's wrong. You see, denominations exist because they teach different things. It can't be right. You know, the Lord also tells us in John chapter 17, verses 20 and through 22, we read about the prayer that Jesus prayed for the oneness and for the unity of believers. But denominationalism perpetuates division. It perpetuates different splinter groups and different doctrines. Why don't we fellowship denominations? Because the Lord said not to. He said avoid them. Romans 16:17 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them who cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have received, and avoid them." Why don't we fellowship them? Because Ephesians 5:11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Brethren, this is very, very serious. And I am so saddened and disheartened, and in a sense, I have righteous indignation and anger about the fact that I see some congregations of the Lord's church who are embracing denominationalism, who are holding their hands up, and who are teaching we're all going to the same place anyway. Friends, when a group begins to teach a plan or a doctrine different from that of Christ, they're not going to the same place anyway. Denominationalism says that one church is just as good as another. The Bible says there is one body, Ephesians 4:4. Denominationalism says that one way is just as good as another. The Bible says Jesus is the way, John 14:16. Denominationalism says one faith is as good as another. The Bible says there is one Lord, one faith, Ephesians 4:5. Denominationalism says doctrine doesn't matter. The Bible says, abide ye in the doctrine. 2 John verse 9. Denominationalism says we're all going to the same place. The Bible says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 7:21. Denominationalism says just believe and you don't have to do anything else. The Bible says, he that doeth the will of my Father in heaven. Denominationalism says we can't understand the Bible alike anyway. The Bible says, wherefore be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians 5:17. Denominationalism says, fellowship everybody. The Bible says, have no fellowship with. Ephesians 5:11. The denominations say that it's wrong to judge other people. The Bible says, judge ye not according to appearance, but judge ye righteous judgment. John 7:24. The denominations say the church is not important. Choose the church of your choice. The Bible says Christ loved the church and he gave himself for it. Ephesians 5:25. Ladies and gentlemen, more than anything in the world, we want to go to heaven and we want you to go to heaven. And we want you to investigate the Bible and to check it out yourself. We want you to obey the gospel and to become a part of the church you read about in the New Testament. Because you can't go to heaven in a denomination. Acts 2:47, the Lord added to the church all that should be saved. Such as should be saved. All of the saved in all generations are a part of that church which Jesus paid for with His blood. If you want to know what it looks like, we have a picture of it in the pages of the New Testament. If you want to know what it doesn't look like, there are pictures of it all around you in the denominational world. We are not trying to be ugly this morning, and we're not trying to say something that is offensive. But the fact of the matter is, you can only be saved in the church that Jesus paid for with His blood. And you can be a part of that this morning. You can obey the gospel. You can have salvation in the church of Christ, the one that belongs to Him, the one that He's coming back for to deliver to the Father. The way that you do that is by obedience to the gospel, by hearing it, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Christ, and being baptized in water for the remission of sins.